SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. It's time to get to some top headlines. First being March Madness starts today. It's go time. The Final Four, again, will start today. We'll bring on a guest next mid-major match to talk all about the games going on and also some predictions when it officially starts, you know, the round of 64 on Friday. But, Kev, I'm super excited and amped up to have March Madness underway.
Yeah, it is finally here. Time for us to dance. It is going to be very, very exciting. The 16s, you know, it's like, they're going to go on and get slaughtered. But those games are always fun. Very, very tight spreads. And then Drake, Wichita State, yep, and UCLA, Michigan State should be a ton of fun as well.
I am ready for some upsets. I'm so excited for this. All right, one player update we need to bring up. Georgia Tech star Moses Wright won't play in Friday's NCAA game. This is huge news. He's the ACC Player of the Year. He's also the leading scorer of his team. This is a huge thing for Georgia Tech to not have him in this game.
Moses Wright is their leading scorer. Well, don't worry, Georgia Tech. You're only playing the best defense in the country. I'm sure that won't be an issue. That point spread has moved now to 4.5, Erin. The tough thing when it comes to college basketball, how much can a point spread really move based on a single player, right? Like, if LeBron James is going to move a point spread 5 points, I mean, Moses Wright is going to move a point spread, what, 1.5? But there's a world where these college players can be invaluable to their teams. Heartbreaking stuff for Georgia Tech, but they're the kind of group you watch Jose Alvarado and Pastner, their head coach, talk after winning the ACC Conference Championship. You could see them rallying around this. It's going to be a fun one to break down tomorrow.
Yep, Kevin and I are going to be keeping tabs on every headline, given that I took Georgia Tech in that game. And now that I know this, I wish I took Loyola Chicago. All right, moving on to the NBA. Bucks add Rockets forward P.J. Tucker in a four-player deal that also involves picks. Tucker is currently averaging 4.4 points and 4.6 rebounds per game. Mm-hmm. But despite these numbers, he could provide some type of value.
Yeah, P.J. Tucker has a legitimate chance to be on the closing lineup for the Milwaukee Bucks come the playoffs. A combination of Giannis, Middleton, Drew, P.J., and then you can kind of be versatile there with, you know, a Brooke Lopez or maybe a Bryn Forbes, Dante DiVincenzo. Plenty of options will be there for the Milwaukee Bucks. Not the only team, though, that made a move. The Miami Heat traded with the Oklahoma City Thunder, bringing in Trevor Ariza, who we'd not seen for them, kind of sitting out and waiting to find himself on a contender. Remember last year, Miami made the move for Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder, and Jay Crowder was incredibly important for that team. Trevor Ariza could fit that same description. Excited to see him back out there on the floor.
Yeah, good for P.J. Tucker. He gets off the Houston Rockets team that's lost 18 straight. But let's get into some games that happened last night. Bucks erased a 19-point deficit to get a 109-105 overtime win against the Sixers. Giannis scores 10 of his 32 points in overtime. The Bucks move within a game and a half of the Sixers in the Eastern Conference standings. Do you expect them to continue to move up?
Yeah, I think right now this three-horse race for that number one spot in the East is becoming more valuable by the day. The ability to host the Eastern Conference Finals, the ability to avoid either playing the other team in the second round. Now, ask Milwaukee. It's no delight to possibly draw the Miami Heat in the NBA playoffs if that's how things shake out. But that hunt for the one seed continues, and an important result last night for Milwaukee in that hunt.
Yep, and welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh, talking about some NBA recap here. James Harden, he scored a season-high 40 points with 15 assists, 10 rebounds, and led Brooklyn to its sixth consecutive win. This was without KD and Kyrie, by the way. Shorthanded Nets win over the Pacers. Earlier in the show, Kevin gave credit when credit is due, hyping up the Nets and how good they've been playing as of recently.
It's well deserved. And James Harden is getting a lot of credit right now in the odds market for MVP. Fourth on the board, and only one of four guys that are below that 10-1 mark now at plus 950 as Embiid continues to miss games, and as the Nets continue to win, Harden might start to put some legitimate pressure on LeBron and Jokic. The narrative is seemingly in his favor, Aaron.
Yep, that's for sure. Let's head to the ice now. The Rangers net 9 goals against the Philadelphia Flyers. 7 goals in the second period. Carter Hart lets in 4. Then they bring in Brian Elliott as relief, and boom, he gives up 5. Now they face the Islanders tonight. I'm a little surprised on the FanDuel Sportsbook. They're plus 118 on the money line. I figured that would be much longer given this terrible loss and how good the Islanders are.
Yeah, I guess they're not going to over-adjust. Maybe they're thinking, okay, they need to get back out there and get this out of their system. An Isles team, though, that's coming off of a loss.
9 goals out of their system, Kev?
Well,
they needed 9 goals and shutout to get out of their system.
Well, I'm saying they want to get back out there now and forget about it. They want to put it behind them. I mean, I'm sure that everybody does. But the Isles are coming off of a loss to the Caps. That's been a hot hockey team, so that's not going to be an easy task tonight for the Flyers.
No.
I suggest maybe watching the NCAA games and maybe leaving the hockey at least on the second screen.
Yeah, I agree with you there. We got to stick with the NCAA right now. All right, Arizona Cardinals agreed to a one-year deal with A.J. Green after he spent 10 seasons with the Bengals. The deal is worth up to $8.5 million and includes $6 million guaranteed. This means that Pat Pete is out. What do you think of this, Kev?
Yeah, it's a big deal right now that the Arizona Cardinals continuing to add key names like an A.J. Green. But as you said, Pat Pete finds a new home. First time he'll play football out of Arizona, signs a deal with the Minnesota Vikings.
Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're bringing mid-major Matt to talk all things NCAA. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. The NCAA first four games start today, so Kevin and I are going to go over all four. We're also going to have mid-major Matt later giving us his take as well. But Kev, are you overall just excited to have this thing basically start up? We're getting amped up today for everything to get underway.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not? Every single game is a playoff game. I think that's probably the best way to try and explain to someone why this is so crazy, why it is so intense, but why it is so important. I mean, the round of 64 is 32 playoff games. Today, an additional 4 games that are all playoff games. Whoever loses, their season is over. So that's the thing. Like, you are breaking these games down as if they are the most important games of the year. It was nice to kind of wet our whistle a little bit yesterday, Aaron, with the NIT. Obviously, the NIT is not the NCAA tournament, but the same adage applies. Those are playoff games. It is a win or go home type of scenario. Two dogs covering and winning outright, the total splitting, the game with the high number in the 150s and under, the game with a low 125 total shoots over the number. Again, we're not going to break down NCAA games based on NIT trends. Maybe we will, but I just think those are interesting things to keep in mind as we get rolling here.
Yep, and during tomorrow's show, guys, Kevin and I are going to break down basically every game that's going on tomorrow. So make sure you tune into that. It's going to be heavy, heavy, heavy on college hoops, basically the entire show. So stick around for that. But let's get into these games now. So the Texas Southern Tigers will face the Mount St. Mary's Mountaineers in the first four game of the NCAA tournament. And then in the East region, they're going to face the Michigan Wolverines, whoever wins this game. The Tigers went 10-3 during the SWAC regular season. The Tigers have won their last 9 games, including 3 straight games in the SWAC tournament, to earn the automatic bid. Meanwhile, Mountaineers won four straight games to secure their automatic bid after being dogs in every NEC tournament game that they played. Mount St. Mary's right now is the short favorite at -1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook with a total at 133. Do you have a take on this one, Kev?
So this is a game that I know I'm sure some people are like, what does it matter? They're just going to be left for slaughter against the Michigan Wolverines. But you know what? Ever since Virginia got upset, we don't know if that's true. I'm excited for this one. Texas Southern, you said it, Aaron, comes in not just winning 9 games in a row. They've won 14 of their last 15 games, including stomping out Prairie View A&M in the SWAC Conference Tournament game, who had been phenomenal all year long in the SWAC. And they're, to me, from what I can see here, playing the better basketball. Now, Mount St. Mary's is getting a lot of love for their defensive presence. They're a slight 1-point favorite, against the spread trends here. And this is something, by the way, guys, that you're going to notice, I think, for a lot of these teams, especially the lower, teams that got the automatic bids by winning their conference tournaments. You're like, oh, wow, they're red hot. They've won 4 games in a row. Yeah, that's what they had to do to win their conference tournament. Oh, wow, they've covered 5 games in a row. Again, that's what kind of had to happen in order to get them to the dance. That's just the way those things tend to play out. So don't go, berserk with some of those numbers. But I just feel like Texas Southern is playing such hot basketball. Mount St. Mary's really kicked it into gear to close things out and win their conference tournament. But from what I'm seeing here, and I'm excited to really, get mid-major Matt's thoughts on these games, who's going to be joining us in the next segment, who, knows these teams as well as anybody. But my eye test here, my initial look, is to take Texas Southern.
And what's interesting, and I want to kind of take it back here and just talk overall betting really, really quickly, since we're starting to break down some of these games. Both of these teams are from different, conferences. So we're not seeing throughout the season, these two play each other and we have a big sample size of what could potentially happen. All these games, we don't really have crazy information besides we know these teams are on a winning streak. You have the spread, which Mount St. Mary's right now, -1. So would you just go towards the money line? I mean, they're -124. If you like Texas Southern, you could just take them +106. Is it better just to take money lines for some of these games, especially when it's such a short spread?
Yeah, the thing is, these things can always come into play. So yesterday, just for example, right, the Western Kentucky +2 ticket, they were up 2 with 3 seconds remaining left, and St. Mary's had the ball. The best shot they were going to get up was a 3. Might have gone in. If it went in, money line loses, +2 covers. So you are happy to have the +2. I understand with a Texas Southern +1, you're either going to win the game or push. I get that. But a push, you still get your money back. Plus ones, I understand. But if it's plus
we
want to
win,
Kev.
We can't be pushing.
I understand that.
Yeah, no, that definitely
doesn't
matter.
But I also don't want to lose. I mean, so look, that's the reality of the situation there. I mean, it's a $12 difference, right, from the -106 to the +106. Who am I to sneeze at $12? But it's for a reason. These games can be tight. They're going to be. Look at these point spreads here. I mean, 1, 2, 2,
the longest
3.5.
Is Appalachian State.
It's very, very tight.
Yeah, very tight. All right, let's switch to another game. The Wichita State Shockers and the Drake Bulldogs meet with the winner taking on USC. Both teams failed to cover in their last game. The Shockers, on average, record 72 points per game and give up 65. Wichita State is 15-0 overall and 8-0 against the spread when scoring more than 65 points. Now, for Drake, the Bulldogs score 10 more points per game than the Shockers allow. And Drake has also put together an 18-0-1 against the spread record and 24-0 overall record in games where it scores more than 67 points. The Bulldogs are right now favored -2 on the FanDuel Sportsbook with a total at 141. I think I'd lean towards Drake here.
Yeah, so this is an interesting spot. And yes, I'm going to keep referencing the NIT. I spent a lot of time looking at those two games, so I'm going to keep the lessons that I've learned with me. We had a comparable situation, where the team that was the favorite has now moved to the dog, and some of it is around injury news, and some of it could just be other kind of circumstances here. Drake was getting 2 points. But as this line continued to sit out there, and Shaquan Hemphill, the top scorer on the year for Drake, is supposed to return from a broken foot. Next thing you know, the Drake Bulldogs are laying 2 points. They are the against the spread Kings. And I don't ever want to sneeze at that. 26-1 against, hold on, so 20 wins, 6 losses, and a push against the spread. 26-1 sounds ridiculous, but they were, let's just say, 20-6 ATS. And that is a phenomenal track record there for Drake. Here's the interesting thing. This compares heavily to what happened with Toledo and Richmond. Again, these games aren't going to marry one another, but Toledo went from a 2-point dog to a 5-point favorite and lost the game outright. So there can always come a point where the line possibly gets too far away. Aaron, I'm excited for this one. You know, again, UCLA, Michigan State, these two 11 games here are very, very exciting. My thought is to similarly kind of follow Drake in this spot, but I wonder if the move has been a little bit too much and maybe we've missed our opportunity with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, we'll see. That game tonight, 6:27 p.m. Eastern. All right, Norfolk State Spartans are taking on the Appalachian State. They're going to meet the winner playing to Gonzaga. So whoever's going to play Gonzaga, that's going to be a tough one. Appalachian State's been awful during the second half of the season, but they picked it up at the right time. Before that, before the win against the Sun Belt beating Texas State, they went 1-5 straight up and against the spread in their last 6 games. So the Spartans, on the other hand, have been a bit more consistent, going 8-1 straight up and 7-1 against the spread. And the previous 9 contests, and Appalachian State, meanwhile, is 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 games as a favorite, and Norfolk State going 10-1 against the spread in their last 11 games against a team with a winning percentage above 600. Do you lean either way here, given that Appalachian State is -3.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook?
It does jump out to me that they are 3.5-point favorites with how tight the rest of these games are. It almost it looks like an outlier. We'll talk more to Mid-Major Matt next about that, Aaron.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We now bring on Mid-Major Matt to talk all things about the NCAA tournament. That is starting today. We have the first 4 games. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to get all of your insight. We're also just so amped up for March Madness to begin. So right off the bat, what's your biggest takeaways for the first 4 games that are going on today?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people will ignore the games involving the 16 seeds. And for the most part, there's not a ton of like edges with regards to either matchup. But I mean, there are some bettable things. I mean, the Wichita State-Drake game is going to be interesting. The Michigan State-UCLA game, of course, it's the two powers. And of course, there's the Spread the Love promotion from FanDuel. So we know that that's going to be going on as well. So, you know, there's a couple of different interesting matchups today for the first 4 to kick things off.
Yeah, and I definitely want to go piece by piece, and we can kind of take these games in order of how they're going to be going off the board. So Mount St. Mary's and Texas Southern are going to be starting things. You've got Mount St. Mary's as the 1-point favorite here. The total is 133. Matt, I know you're a total player as well, but if the side jumps off the page, it does anything kind of catch your eye here? We're doing anything with the first half in the first official game of the NCAA tournament?
Well, I mean, this one's kind of interesting because it's your classic case of a team that really wants to go in Texas Southern versus a team that doesn't want to go in Mount St. Mary's. And you look at Mount St. Mary's possession lists, I mean, they very rarely, if ever, touch 70 possessions. And that means that this game, everything is going to count here. Texas Southern's not going to be able to speed up Mount St. Mary's. They went to VCU and they played a 64-possession game. They went to Maryland, they played a 60-possession game. I mean, this is just going to be a bit of a grind here. So the total is low for a reason here. I think Texas Southern has more talent. I do like the Chong Ki kid for Mount St. Mary's. He has a great story about, you know, everything that it took to get to school and get to college basketball. I think Texas Southern's worth a look here if they could somehow at least ugly this game up a little bit. Mount St. Mary's has the better defense. Texas Southern has a bit of an ugly offense, but they're a team that has made the tournament in the past. So it'll be an interesting matchup. Maybe a couple of live betting opportunities come into play here. If somehow this pace does speed up, you could kind of get an idea of how it's going to go.
And Matt, my favorite matchup on the board tonight would definitely be UCLA versus Michigan State. A lot of people have Michigan State making it far into their tournament bracket. How do you see this game playing out right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook? They are favored by -2, but if you did use the Spread the Love promotion, you're going to get them at an insane number. Yesterday it was at +91.5 for them to cover, which is absolutely insane. But what are your takeaways for this game?
I mean, it's two name brands, and it's two teams that aren't playing good basketball. UCLA's lost 4 in a row. They're not, you know, they're not playing Mick Cronin basketball right now. Their defense is a bit leaky at times. They're not a good three-point defensive team. Their offense has not been very good since, you know, they lost some players to injury. And then you look at the Michigan State side. Michigan State's limping down the stretch a little bit too. I mean, they got in basically because of that stretch. You know, those two home games that they won over Ohio State and Illinois. They're not exactly Michigan State either. So basically right now I think people are just betting on conference because they know the Big Ten is more reliable than the Pac-12. And they're betting on coach because they know Tom Izzo is more reliable than Mick Cronin is right now. And that's why this line's kind of staying firm, I feel like, is that everybody's saying, well, the Big Ten had a really good year. Tom Izzo is a really good coach. So, you know, I feel like I have to bet on Michigan State.
And that's, I guess, the worrying thing, Matt, of it being, oh, well, this is too easy. Obviously, I've got to back the Spartans here. It's never going to be that easy. But, man, UCLA finishes up their season losing to the only good teams it seemingly had in the Pac-12. Like, I know that you were a little worried about your Syracuse Orange getting in. Had I told you UCLA was in, you probably would have been a little bit less concerned. At least that's what my eyes told me when I was staring at that resume. Were you surprised to see the Bruins get in? Because other than a 3-point win over Colorado, I didn't see much that impressed me.
I would say I was more surprised that Wichita and Drake got in than UCLA. I mean, UCLA gets the benefit of being in a Power 5 conference, even if it's down. It's a year when I felt like the conference and the tournament needed brand names to get better ratings, because after not having a tournament last year, you figured, okay, they need to get brand names and people want to watch the UCLAs, the Michigan States and things like that. So I thought there would be a slanting towards the brand names, and UCLA, of course, is one of them. I mean, they did have some decent wins, but yeah, I was surprised about them, but I was also surprised more about Wichita and Drake, because I felt like these two schools who probably belonged in wouldn't get in because they're not in big conferences.
And the winner of this matchup between UCLA and Michigan State will play the mid-major team BYU. Do you see either of these teams giving them a run for their money when they play them in the round of 64?
I think BYU is a bit of an enigma in that, you know, you look, they've got Matt Harms, the Purdue transfer. He does so much work inside. He's so good at erasing shots, and he's a good shot blocker, good defender, and he forces teams to shoot more on the outside. My thing about BYU is in the few BYU games I've watched, it's all about Gideon George. Gideon George is an athletic kid who I feel like at times gets kind of lost on the bench. Like when he played in that Gonzaga game, he made things happen. BYU looked like a more competent offense, but he also barely played in the second half. So to me, if they could start using Gideon George more, I think BYU becomes an interesting play here, depending upon the matchup. I think they match up better with UCLA than Michigan State, but we'll see which one of those two teams move on, because I think BYU may be able to beat UCLA, but they may struggle against Michigan State.
You call BYU an enigma, and I think that's fascinating. In the WCC conference title game, Matt, they came out in the first half. I mean, they shot like 70% from the floor and from beyond the arc. They had the lead over Gonzaga, and all that did was open up opportunities for someone like myself to just live bet Gonzaga, who somehow still comes back and wins that game by double digits. Did you leave that game more, okay, wow, BYU was competitive, or like, goodness me, was that just totally fake and you absolutely cannot hang and not make a legitimate run? Maybe the real takeaway was nobody's going to touch Gonzaga this year.
I mean, that was probably the Gonzaga part of it was probably true. But, I mean, any team that shoots 60-70% in a half is going to be up by a lot of points. Yeah. I don't care if you're Baylor or if you're Texas Southern. It doesn't matter. If you're shooting that well, you're going to be up a lot of points. And when the shooting dries up, you're not going to be up as much. So that's kind of what I saw there. I mean, you could take – look, if Loyola Marymount was shooting that well, they probably would have been up that much by against Gonzaga too. So it wasn't so much BYU. It was just the numbers. It was just they shot insanely well, and so that's what happened. And then Gonzaga's like, all right, we're going to make sure you don't do that again, and then they won the game by 10.
Yeah.
And speaking of Gonzaga, let's take it back to the number one seeds. We have Gonzaga, Michigan, Illinois, and Baylor. Which team in the number one seeds do you think is going to go the furthest in this NCAA tournament?
Well, I mean, I think it's Gonzaga because I think Gonzaga is going to win the championship. I mean, I'm just, a big fan of what they do. I think that Gonzaga has all the pieces. They showed you they could play defense if they really want to. What they can do also in the offensive end is rarely matched. I mean, there's not a lot of teams who can come at you. They have three people in the most outstanding player of the year. I mean, that's just insane. What team has three players in the top 10 in college basketball? So if one of them's not shooting well, then the rest of them could play well without them. And it's just a great match. They've got some good bench guys. So to me, it's Gonzaga. They're my national champion.
And Matt, you and I and Holden Kushner as well, we were having a little conversation during an in-game live crossover. I all of a sudden found myself in the heat of the battle because I was saying complimentary things about Corey Kispert versus Jalen Suggs, even though I quite like Jalen Suggs. But you were making the point that he's been shooting terribly of recent, or at least he's been regressing kind of back to normalcy, because at one point I know he was flirting with a 60-50-90 season, which is just ridiculous. Are you concerned, though, about Kispert and how he is playing come tournament time? Because surely they're going to need, the top level of Corey Kispert if they are going to cut the nets all the way down.
I mean, I would like to see Corey Kispert shooting better as a player. I think that that's a small issue. But I also, when you've got Drew Timmy inside and you've got Nembhard and you've got Suggs and you've got Ayayi and you've got all these other guys who could come in and do their part. Even Aaron Cook comes in, the SIU transfer, and he is able to add some things. So on a normal team, I'd be more worried because there wouldn't be as many options around him. But with so many other guys, they can kind of give Kispert time to find himself. Because when Kispert finds himself, they're going to be fine. It's just right now he's kind of struggling a little bit, so they just got to, give him better shots, give him more opportunities to take open shots. I think they'll be fine, especially maybe he gets healthy in that 16 seed game, and then all of a sudden, they're off and running once again.
So we talked a little bit about the number one seeds. Let's take it back and figure out what's the most dangerous 11th seed, maybe the 12th, 13th, or 14th. Where are you seeing some of the bigger teams that could potentially make a push?
Well, of course, I mean, you look at some of these 12s and 13s, and look, I even think the 14s this year are very active. I mean, I think, there was a list of mid-majors that I really wanted to make the tournament, and we got a lot of them in because I think there's some good squads. I think, look, Liberty at 13, I've said this, when I've done a bunch of these. Oklahoma State could win the championship. Oklahoma State could also lose to Liberty, because Liberty is a very matter-of-fact team. They run their style of offense. They're very slow-paced. They shoot a lot of threes. If the threes are falling, they're going to be very hard to defend. Richie McKay is a very good coach, and they played a lot of Power 5 schools in their non-conference slate, and they beat a couple of them. They beat South Carolina. They beat Mississippi State. They played Purdue close. Unfortunately, they lost to TCU, but it's a veteran team with solid guards. A good system. They don't get out of their system very often. And Oklahoma State's a young squad in certain places. Let's say Cade Cunningham gets frustrated with the pack line defense. Let's say that, some of those other kids on that team struggle a little bit, and maybe it is a close game late and you believe more in a Liberty. So I think this is a very good group of 11, 12s, and 13s this year. UCSB against Creighton, I think they're another live team. I think obviously Winthrop is very live, even though they're the fashionable dog that everybody loves. But I think this is a really good group of mid-majors this year.
Yeah, I want to ask you more about these squads. I think Aaron's onto something there. Maybe if we kind of like who's the most dangerous 11 and get a sense for that. I also know, Matt, that we want to talk to you a little bit about the defending national champions and what you think the Cavaliers could possibly do here in this tournament, the COVID issues notwithstanding. We're coming up against a commercial break. It's Kevin Walsh, it's Aaron Dolan, and it's mid-major Matt right here on the Early Line. We'll be back after this quick commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We now bring back mid-major Matt. Before the break, we got his thoughts on the most dangerous seeds between 11 and 14. Now I want to get your take, Matt, on the most dangerous seeds 8, 9, and 10. One game that stands out to me is UNC versus Wisconsin.
The UNC-Wisconsin game is interesting. It's weird because the best North Carolina team could go and they could win next round too. Like they could go and make a Sweet 16 run. You see them, you know, in some of their games, like the Virginia Tech game, they look really good. And of course, that Notre Dame game beforehand in the tournament, you know, they play volleyball with the ball on the offensive side. They're very good at offensive rebounding, but their guards aren't good enough. But then you look on the other side and you're like, wait a second, Wisconsin isn't very good either. They lost 6 of 8 down the stretch. I mean, they didn't show you anything. It's the more athletic squads, but they're also the more methodical team. They've got some decent guards. They've got a decent system, great guards, a decent coach. So to me, it's like, who's best is going to show up on this night? We haven't seen Wisconsin's best for quite a while, and North Carolina's best shows up, but then their worst is really bad. So it's a really tough game to kind of figure out. You're kind of just trying to say, all right, well, I think North Carolina is going to show up, or I think Wisconsin, because the wrong team, they're going to get blasted. So this could be one of those live betting situations. You watch the first 10 minutes. Is North Carolina's size winning out? Is Wisconsin's system and methodical nature winning out? So that could be literally the perfect game to live bet.
I like that. I think that's great advice right there. If we're talking 8-9s, I have to bring up Loyola Chicago and Georgia Tech. And look, we'll get your thoughts in a moment, but I got to think that someone like yourself who follows these mid-majors closely, I know you're also someone who pays attention to KenPom as well. I mean, what does Loyola Chicago, a team like that, have to do to get a little bit of respect? I can't wrap my head around that. Them being 9th in KenPom and almost being 9th in their own region, that to me seems a bit ridiculous.
Well, I think it's their profile. I mean, you look at the teams they beat non-conference, and it's not very good. It's North Texas. That's about it. North Texas is a tournament team because they won the Conference USA, but they lost to Richmond, they lost to Wisconsin, and they beat nobody else. And the Missouri Valley was down this year. I mean, this is not your typical Missouri Valley that sometimes is going to put in 3 teams. So I think it's just, you know, and plus they don't play a brand of sexy basketball. They're a very slow, methodical team. They're not going to get your ratings. I mean, the run they made to the Final Four was great. That was a couple of years ago. So that's going to help things out a little bit. But once again, it just shows that they don't have a ton of respect for the non-Power 5 schools.
And Georgia Tech star Moses Wright is going to be out against Loyola Chicago. He's the ACC Player of the Year. He's leading scorer of his team. How much do you think this is going to make an impact on this game?
Well, I mean, it's huge because, as you said, he is their leading scorer. I mean, Jose Alvarado is probably their best player, at least in terms of he is their point guard. He gets them going. He's their emotional leader. And this is what, Loyola Chicago's biggest advantage inside is Cam Prutwig. And now Georgia Tech, one of their best defenders for him, is out for this game. There might be a point, and I'm not sure when, because the money's going to keep coming in on Loyola Chicago, when there's a decent buyback opportunity on Georgia Tech. As much as I don't like Josh Pastner, he's a good coach, he's a fun guy to watch, and they still do have some talent at Georgia Tech. It's just, you know, right now I think people are just blindly betting, you know, Loyola Chicago, thinking that, of course, Moses writes out that Georgia Tech can't win. There's a chance they could win. I think at some point there's going to be a number where you buy back on Georgia Tech here.
I think that's certainly possible. The last I saw, that number was up to 4.5. One team I wanted to get thoughts on you from, when we talk about some dangerous 10 seeds, could be VCU. We know they have a pedigree of a program that is, you know, won NCAA tournament games before. They're playing the Oregon Ducks, who some think could make a legitimate run here. And maybe upset in Iowa. I know a team that you're very excited to pick on at some point, I know, in this tournament. But what do you think about VCU? Could they upset Oregon and maybe even beyond?
By the way, that Loyola Chicago number is 5.5 now, so we might be getting close if that thing gets to 6 to a buyback time on Georgia Tech. With regards to VCU, I really like this VCU team, but I'm also worried about the officiating crews they may get. When you look at the Havoc style of basketball that VCU plays, it's very touchy-feely, grabby type, where they like to go and they like to make their defender feel their presence. And some officiating crews call it very tight, and VCU gets in trouble. Case in point, you look at that game against St. Bonaventure in the A-10 championship. Bone Tyland gets 3 fouls early. Now, I believe it was the 2nd or 3rd foul that wasn't a foul, and they got hosed on that. But if they get the wrong crew and they start getting in foul trouble, then you have to worry. VCU has a bunch of guys, but they need their stars to play. They need Bone Tyland. They need Vince Williams. I talked to the Oregon play-by-play guy, and I said, who's most like VCU in the Pac-12? And he said Oregon is. Oregon, when they play at their best, is very hard to beat. I think whoever wins this game, I think they're going to beat Iowa if Iowa gets there to that round of 32 game, because I think that Oregon at their best is an Elite Eight team. We saw it in the second half of the season when they had all their players, Will Richardson, when they had everybody healthy. They just started running off victories because of the style they played. Dana Altman's a really good coach. But we also saw at times that they had these sketchy stretches where they just couldn't play basketball. They turned it over too much. They couldn't hit any shots. If they do that against VCU, the Rams will take advantage of it. So I think Oregon's going to win this game. I think VCU could cover. And then whoever wins that game is probably going to beat Iowa if they get to that next round matchup.
I love to hear that, Matt, because I have them winning, and I actually have them going against Gonzaga and beating them, which is pretty insane. That's very much of a long stretch there, and I know you have the Gonzaga flag behind you, but I do like my Oregon Ducks. Since we're asking you about the most dangerous 8, 9, and 10 seeds, what do you think about the Oklahoma-Missouri game as well?
Well, so Oklahoma's going to be without their second leading scorer, and that's a pretty big thing for them because this team, I mean, down the stretch wants another squad. That, you know, it's funny because you want to play on teams that are playing well down the stretch. Well, Oklahoma and Missouri at times weren't. I mean, Missouri used to be a really good defensive team, and then that kind of disappeared. They've got Jeremiah Tillman. He's a matchup problem. To me, this is one of your typical 8-9 games, much like the Wisconsin-North Carolina game. It's which squad's going to show up. Is it the Oklahoma that played in the earlier part of the season with Reeves and Manic really shooting the ball well, or is it going to be the squad that's playing as of late who hasn't played good basketball? And then Missouri, the same thing. I mean, Missouri's got some talent. They've got a really good coach in Martin. You've got the Big 10 versus the SEC, excuse me, the Big 12 versus the SEC here. Two conferences that traditionally you don't necessarily trust in the NCAA tournament. It's a really hard matchup, and once again, could be a good live betting situation to kind of get a feel of who feels good early on in this game.
I would be remiss if I didn't pull us back to Iowa. I don't, first of all, think I've seen you smile that wide than when I mentioned picking on Iowa. But I also, it just kind of set in as I am now talking to you who they're playing. They're going up against Frankie Muniz. I mean, this is now the most mid-major Matt game of all time. For those that don't know, Frankie Muniz is the biggest Grand Canyon fan in the world, at least according to myself, Matt, and Jared Smith. So do you, because you keep adding that caveat, if they get there, do you legitimately think we could have this 15-seed Grand Canyon squad unseat the Hawkeyes?
Do I legitimately think so? No. But do I think that there's a chance? I'll give it like a 15 to 20% chance. I think that this is a bad matchup for Iowa. When you look at Luka Garza, he beats up on people that are smaller than him in terms of size and weight. Well, Asborn Midgard is not smaller than him. And when you throw a guy like Alessandro Lever, I mean, Grand Canyon has two legit twin towers here in terms of Lever and Midgard, and they could throw them both at Luka Garza, and they could both shoot a little bit too. I mean, you know, look, Grand Canyon's a really efficient offense. They play at a really slow pace. I really like Bryce Drew as a coach. I think that what's going to happen here is I think they're going to play methodical. I think Iowa, if they're not careful, is going to struggle a little bit with the methodical nature because Iowa wants to get up and down. Plus, it's a Grand Canyon team that's played several Power 5 schools. They played Colorado. They played Arizona State. They beat Nevada. So they're not going to be intimidated by Iowa. I think that this game will be closer than people think. And, of course, I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on the Grand Canyon money line just in case this upset happens and I could sit here and smile and be like, yeah, I predicted this a while ago. So, yeah, I think there is a chance that Grand Canyon can beat Iowa in this game.
And a lot of people think Iowa will have the bumpiest road as that number two seed. Then you have Ohio State, Houston, and Alabama as those other number two seeds. Which one of those do you see making a run?
I mean, it's probably going to be Houston. You look at their bottom part of the bracket, you know, when you could say they play Cleveland State and then Clemson or Rutgers, I mean, you're not getting anybody who's going to challenge Houston style-wise. Cleveland State plays ugly, slow basketball. You look at Clemson and Rutgers, that's two of the ugliest teams ever. I mean, Rutgers can't hit a free throw, and Clemson can't hit a shot anywhere. And then if they somehow move on, they'll get a West Virginia team that plays no defense. Or they'll get a San Diego State team that does play defense and their offense struggles. Or hopefully they'll get Syracuse, who's somehow in the Sweet 16 again, making a run, even though they really shouldn't, because, you know, they're a flawed and faulty team. So I think Houston has the right set of matchups. If they get to Illinois, if they get to Oklahoma State in the Elite Eight, then we'll talk. That'll be something completely different. But that lower quadrant in the Midwest matches up very nicely for Houston.
If we're going to talk two seeds and two 15 games, I mean, I guess I'll bring it up. Alabama, Iona, Matt, Patino, got the Gales rocking. No, don't shake the head no. How bad are they going to lose? I think Alabama's real good. I do. Oh, I don't have high expectations. What do you think about Bama, Iona, and realistically the outlook for Bama, assuming you have them moving past the Gales in that game?
So I'm not the biggest Alabama guy. I think everybody loves the Alabama when everything's going right in terms of they're hitting a bunch of shots. They remember that LSU game where they hit like 27 threes and scored over 100 points. Like, I think everybody has this feeling about Alabama that, like, hey, you know, they're awesome, but there's times where they struggle. If their long-range shots aren't hitting, if their defense is struggling, they're not this perfect, infallible team. Now, I'm sorry to say, they're going to beat Iona. I think I like the team total over for Alabama, because when Iona took their step up in competition, they struggled defensively, and I don't think their defense is very good. So I could see Alabama scoring 85, 90 points. Iona wants to push the pace. Alabama's going to be like, sure, we'll push the pace. So I don't think this is going to be a very close game. I think Alabama can name their score here. I think the over comes into play here. Look, your team's a great story, but I just don't think they match up well with Alabama.
This is heartbreaking.
Yeah, Kev's really pulling for Iona here. Okay, you told us that Gonzaga was who you thought was going to win it all. Why don't you give us your Final Four and how you got to those teams?
So I have Gonzaga, obviously. I have Illinois coming out of the Midwest, although I think Oklahoma State, I think it's either Oklahoma State or Illinois that comes out of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. You know, the South is really tough because I like Baylor, but it's not like Baylor played well after their pause. And Ohio State concerns me as the two seed that a lot of the talk at the end of the Big Ten tournament was they were a tired team. And when you look at some of these squads late in the season who have to win three or four games in 4 days to get to their conference championship, I mean, that's a bit of a concern. Now, look, Iowa State's going to beat Oral Roberts. I think Oral Roberts can cover that game. But then they've got some interesting bits of Welling Way. But the problem is, who do you take out of the South? Is Purdue good enough? Is Arkansas good enough? Like, there could be some true chaos coming out of this South region. By the way, don't forget, I did say that a really good North Carolina or Wisconsin team could actually beat Baylor. So the South was actually the toughest. I kind of went with Ohio State, but I've actually, you know, filled out a different bracket and went with Baylor. And in the East, I mean, I like Florida State and I like Texas. I think Florida State and Texas are the two teams in the East. I think Michigan without Livers is just not as good. Florida State is deep. They've got a really good head coach. And you've got Texas, who also is a really good coach, and they're deep as well. So I think the South and the East are the two toughest. I think Gonzaga and Illinois are the two easiest to fill in. That's your championship game with Gonzaga winning it all.
Matt, 20 seconds. Who's the toughest matchup in the West for Gonzaga?
Probably Virginia if they get there, because if Virginia's winning games, that means they're healthy and that means their system's working. So I think a rematch with Virginia is their toughest game.
Okay.
All right, Matt, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You gave us so much great insight. I guess you're really pulling for the Zags with the banner behind you. I actually think they're going to fall to the Oregon Ducks, but that is, again, a very much a long shot. Great insight. Overall, guys, the NCAA tournament starts today. Stay with us here on the O-Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204 for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. We are gearing up for the NCAA tournament starting today. We have the first four games going on today. They start around 5 p.m. Eastern. I'm super excited for these. But we also, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, have an awesome promotion. It's the Spread the Love promotion. So Michigan State, spread the love for every 2,500 people that bet on the line. It moves 1 point in favor of the Spartans. And whenever, wherever that lands, you're going to get it at that number. So right now, they're plus 115.5. I mean, could you imagine if for some odd reason they didn't cover that? Obviously, we're just giving away free money here to kick off a great NCAA tournament. Happy to have it back, of course, after last year's was canceled. But Kev, just overall, spreading that love.
I mean, it's a free $45. Max $50 bet, $50 to win $45. Yeah. It's a free $45. Insane. They're not going to lose.
Do you put yours in yet?
20 points. Oh, it's in. It's been in. You had to make sure you locked
it in. Yeah, I was going to say, mine's been in too.
Because here's the deal. Not only when you spread the love, when you put the bet in, you're helping yourself, but you're helping everybody else. That's why it's called spread the love. Like, if you want to lock, Michigan State plus 116.5, I think is where the number's at right now. Maybe 115.5.
It continues to move, I feel like, every 10 minutes.
Of course it does. And it's only, again, it's only going to get higher. It's going to keep climbing and climbing and climbing. The funny thing, though, is I'm not sure if we actually need it. I know it could be a trap. I know that everybody likes Michigan State today. But, like, they're better than UCLA. They have the better coach. Yep, they've beat 100%. The better teams. They've been playing better basketball. I would lay the two or the minus 136 money line, as we like to do here on the early line. We value those points, and we'd rather leave those points alone, and we'll win the game by one. But we're certainly not going to lose the game by 120 points. And honestly, even if they did, I still think the spread to love finishes to where they cover the 120 wouldn't even be an issue.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not going to be an issue. And if you got that line, let's say at plus 9, plus 10, again, you're going to get it wherever that line ends. So we'll see how high that gets up to. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. But overall, so many good games on the board today. Then tomorrow, we're going to be breaking down every single game that's going on in the round of 64. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern here on the Early Line.